recognition for Terry Buck. We understand that he will be
retiring, however you want to do it.
Retiring or resigning before the next board meeting, and we have a plaque for him in recognition of 5 years of service to Sisera.
Really, a real plaque.
Don't even get a chance to see it?
Hey, those look better than the ones the county gives out. So.
Thanks. I will be watching, you know, reading the minutes, and I noticed we're over $6 billion, so we need to keep it there. And we were number two with
Sackers. When you start drawing your retirement, it's going to start going down.
How much of an unfunded liability you cost?
I just wish everybody good luck and continue with what we're doing.
Well, Terry, thank you very much for your service and your dedication, and you hit the ground running when you took that seat and never stopped. So,
do you know who may be coming? Or is
yeah,
it
right there, oh, behind us.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah.
Very well. Good.
That's if you guys call for an election, Karen.
Hey, we're on break now, so, you know. Yeah. I thought, couldn't we do like we did with Louie? Don't you? Oh, that was an unfair.
No, we can't be making up how we do stuff.
No, I know that. Are you at the end of your term?
No. June 30th.
He's in the end of his rope. It's a whole different
process.
Thing.
And wait till June 30th?
No, you will.
Okay,
you
thank
will.
You.
We will?
You'll be putting forth a name.
I think it in the interim.
I think she thinks what happened was what we're going to do. It will.
I agree.
Yeah.
The sooner that I just know that so you guys get represented.
Right.
So it's a special election until June 30th, and then there'll be a regular election. Any other staff? Reports.
Yes, and there's also cake in your honor, right. Terry. The other comment is that there is now Wi-Fi in the boardroom, and yeah. Christina Dunn can give you the login information that you need for that.
Well, I will ask, can we post that? Because when others come in here, they're going to want to know, and I've been in other meeting places where Wi-Fi available, and then you go on and it's blocked without the password.
And so since it's for the public, it's
no,
for the
it's
board.
Not for the public.
It's not for the public?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'll have to check
Wi-Fi's for the
with
public.
Our IT.
It should be.
Well, but do we want to make it to the public?
Yeah, we make it guests like the county buildings are.
Yeah, I was going to say, you'd want to have a limited access for right. If you were going to do that, you'd have us have one login and then the guests log in. So you've got, they can't get into.
You've got Xfinity, cable.
Oh, yeah, no, you don't want them in your system, right. but.
Let me check on that, and you'll have a report next
time. If we're paying
about,
for Wi-Fi, then the public, when they come here, should be able to access, and you can call it what, Sisera guest? Or
we, right. Yeah, we should do it just, the county does it. In my building, there's a Wi-Fi, and its guest is the password, and yet it doesn't compromise our systems.
Yeah, no.
Because all my systems that are important, I have to have a further password to get into it. This is just linking to the internet.
Yeah.
That's all I'm seeing. It's not linking to our website.
Right.
It's a hotspot. It just becomes a hotspot.
Yeah. Well, yes and no. I mean, there are ways to set up your Wi-Fi profile so that your guests have limited access to wherever you want to limit them to. And then we could have further access. But I just look at that, please.
Yeah, we need
I agree.
That's
into
two
that.
Different log.
I agree with Rusty. He's right on this. I would just protect us.
Okay next we have... just a report that we have been receiving public records requests lately for investment information and pension payment information to certain groups of retirees.
We've been responding to those. The public records request, is that from members of the media? That because I know there's sort of an issue out there that they want the pension. You know, they list the salaries of public employees, and now they want the pensions of people who are receiving. Is that what you're talking about?
That's part of it. Some of these requests have been from the media. Some from the investment ones are from a variety of investment research companies that want information about investment that we have here.
So what are we doing about the pension, the people who receive pension? Are
We do provide that information. It is public information.
We have a policy that specifically says which kind of information is private, like their social security number, address, birth date, and everything else that's public, we give them the ask for it.
So if somebody wants to know what John Smith is getting in retirement, you provide that. So have you gotten I'm thinking of Thomas Peel from the Times. Has he asked for all of our retirees?
Over time, yes. I'm not sure that there's been a recent request.
There was a recent request for the total payments for our calendar year. We've had requests for people over $100,000.
Right. Okay. I just because I know they want to set up that same kind of table, if you will, and I just didn't know if we were. There's been some dispute as to whether that is appropriate or legal, and I didn't know if we, Cicero, were involved in that or if it's been fought in the courts or what.
We do provide that information. It was fought in the courts, and the appellate courts have come down with 3 different decisions, all requiring the disclosure.
Okay.
Are there any systems currently not giving the information out?
Yes.
I'm not sure.
There is at least one 37 Act that does not give that information still.
So you haven't been sued directly?
Yes. I could, what's that?
They haven't been sued directly then?
I guess not. I can find out.
Which one is it? Do you know?
I think I know, but I'm not going to say because I'd have to double check, but I think I know, yeah.
Our responsibility, certainly, as a public entity, is to abide by the Public Records Act and appellate court decisions that have interpreted it. And so we do that. We did amend our policy based on those appellate court decisions, and so we do think that we're complying with the law as it is today. Let's see. A quick report on yesterday's Board of Supervisors meeting where they did adopt the changes to salary and a lump sum payment to unrepresented management employees, including those that work here at retirement. They did not, this board requested also changes with regards to special education and certification pay and vacation buyback. And those the county received and is working on those, they advised us that they need to do that as a second phase, and it'll be done in September.
Can I comment on that?
Yes.
Just so you all know, this is for our unrepresented management, and we've had an offer which is pretty much the same for the majority of our labor organizations on the table, but most specifically our mid-managers. And there's still an issue over increasing how much we pay to healthcare costs, and we don't agree on that. And so we felt that instead of our unrepresented having to wait until the contract was signed, because they aren't involved, that we would move forward with this part of it. Because, and I know some people here are very involved in labor negotiations, but. Board's feeling was this is all there is, and so we wanted to go ahead. So it was effective August 1st, so people will see it on their September 10th check.
Richard? Yeah, I'd missed the actual vote because I had to leave early at the last meeting, and so I had some concerns about, you know, the format and how it was going to work, and we've put it in the unrepresented resolution currently, and we're putting the input in there. And I was just curious why it didn't all go together, and I had talked to Karen about this, so this Karen, not your Karen, about that. But I, on the differentials, is that how, and this is not a trick question, but is the management resolution say that Joe Smith gets this differential and Tina Wing gets this differential, or is it just say that these classifications get the differential or could get the differential? Because I'm just wondering on those differential things, are we really going to name people? Is that how it works? So there must be like 100 names on some of these? Because some of these differentials already exist in the county structure. I mean, people get it. I think your office pays a differential. So is your person named? Or is it just say that your office can give the differential? I'm just not understanding why it isn't.
In the management resolution.
All right.
There are no names of employees in the management resolution.
Then why couldn't the differential just go now? The differentials, you know, the ones that are already named. I don't understand.
The county advised that the changes to the management resolution will be before the Board of Supervisors in September, and that is when they will amend them to reflect the new certification pay that this board approved.
Okay, and I guess I'm missing my point here. If they're already in the management resolution right now, that's how people in Rusty's shop and possibly the CAO's office get paid. What would you amend?
I'm not sure what you're... I know what you mean by differential, but I...
Let's say, for example, in Rusty's department... Well, let's say auditor-controller. If you have a CPA... Well, we already had the CPA differential here, didn't we, Karen?
I don't think
yes.
so.
Yes.
We did?
I think so.
Yeah, I think
oh,
we
okay.
did. But
so, so the chartered financial analyst...
Yes.
Right.
...is new to us and... But not new to the county, not new to Rusty's.
So you're
office.
Trying to say when are they?
I think it's already there. We just decided our folks would
but
get
some,
it.
Sometimes in the management resolution, it's there only for one department.
Okay.
They've determined that there are changes that need to be made to that document, okay. and those changes will be before the Board of Supervisors in September.
Okay. And our intention in the motion was that everything's retro to 7-1.
No, not because you weren't here. It was whatever the county's doing. So it was August 1, is my understanding.
As far as the salary changes, yes.
And what about the certification?
I'm not sure on that point, okay. Brian. Right. Do you recall if
I'm not
there's
sure
an effective
came up with
date,
date
on
that.
The certification?
Yeah, I don't recall the date that would be mentioned.
I'm not sure if we did.
I don't think
either.
We did.
Can we bring that back to look at it, or at least know what we
sure.
did?
Sure.
Okay. On the 4th, maybe?
Now, something that's totally new to the county is the 2.5% CEBS, CEB.
That one I fully understand, but because I remember, and no offense, Rusty, there was an argument that your staff had a differential and staff here did not, and it was the same differential. So I just assumed that when it happened, bang, that little iota would be taken care of because it's nothing new. It's the same percentages. It's just saying that this classification, and you're right, Karen, maybe it spells it out. I just know I've never seen names in the resolution, and this almost kind of looked like the answer was leading, well, we have to add their names, and well, they have to add something, apparently, or that's what they're
yes.
saying.
Maybe it's position.
So. We continue to amend the management resolution is what I find.
Amend the amendment.
Okay.
And I think Kurt and Tim both have reports as well.
Okay, so every year following the evaluation, Siegel prepares a few letters for us, for the employers mainly. They break out the UAL by employer. They reconcile the contribution rates by employer, UAL by employer, and project the contribution rates for each employer. So it's gotten up to 4 letters. We've received those, reviewed them, sent them to employers, and we emailed them to the board members this morning. If you have any questions, you can contact me.
Okay. Tim? We held on-site visits with Sigler Guff and Oak Tree in New York on July 30th, right after the board approved the allocations of $80 million to Oak Tree and $70 million to Sigler Guff. Marilyn and I and Bob Hillison attended those on-sites. They're both successful. So we're fine to move forward on those. We're targeting end of August. Having all documents finalized with both firms. Sigler Guff is aiming for a August 30th first close. We intend to be in that. Oak Tree is more of a mid-September, but hopefully we'll have all our docs done well in advance of that. We also took advantage of the fact that we were in New York to meet with DLJ and take a tour of Brooklyn. They're doing a lot more business over there, something we're also hearing from some other shops. So to get a sense of the lay of the land and the profile of the projects that they're putting up, we went over there for a rather extensive tour of Brooklyn. That was very helpful for understanding what our real estate managers are looking at and where we're going to be allocating funds going forward. The only other final note is on the reminder on the September 11th meeting, we're going to have the semifinalist reports for both the small to mid private equity fund-to-fund search and the international value. So. And the quarterly review. It's going to be a long day there, so just be prepared for that.
What dates?
September 11th.
Okay. So in your Brooklyn foray, did you literally went out and physically looked at the properties? Yeah. Is this in the Williamsburg Bridge area? Where
we looked at some properties in Dumbo that they had intended to bid on. They didn't actually end up winning those, but want to get a profile of the community that they're investing in. We looked in Williamsburg. We looked in Flatbush. We looked in about four different neighborhoods out there, Brooklyn Heights. So.
This is Andy's shop.
Yes.
I'm trying to remember, there's an investment manager that we have not yet completed all of the due diligence and we need to do on-site in Denver soon. Is that still
That's with Aether. We're still in the you'll recall that the board approved the Aether allocation subject to operational due diligence, something we haven't done before, which meant we had to get a contract with the operational due diligence folks, which has proven to be time-consuming, to say the least. They've been on the road and on vacation. At this point, we hope to have it by October 25th, have a contract signed with them. I've asked for several changes to their scope of services and fees, quite frankly. And hopefully we'll have an agreement by the end of August to have them do their on-site in, you know, shortly thereafter or beginning of September. And that'll kind of guide when we do our on-site there.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else? That's it? Okay. Thank you. There are no outside professionals here. Trustee comments. Richard?
I just looking at John has a copy of a newspaper article. Bornstein on his jihad now has moved towards call back pay and on call. And it really terribly bothers me. The comments made by the department head, Dr. Walker, as far as I'm concerned, are kind of like icing on the cake. And the cake is that I have always believed we have the power at this board. We didn't need two pepper rules or anything like that. That when someone manipulated the salary to enhance their pension, we could deny that. We had that authority all along. And I know it's a hard nut to prove. We've sat in this room, and I've been in dissent about stuff about that, but this is clearly pointed out to me because of his statements. Both this was physicians lately, before it was the hazmat folks. But we don't need to terminate on-call and callback pay. We need to deal with this problem. This was manipulated. He has so admitted it. They have manipulated, and that has always been wrong. Always. It is a hard subject to prove because normally the employer doesn't say, yeah, I did it. Okay? You know, and here we have it. And so I think we need to deal with these just with what they are. Isolated little pockets. This happens to be two now in the same department. Okay? But they got the wrong idea, and they shouldn't benefit. And it hasn't ever been true that you could get away with this type of stuff. You're not allowed to do that. You were never allowed to enhance your salary to enhance your pension. That was the traditional spiking. None of it's changed. It may be easier to prove, or the burden may have been shifted to another party. But here, this is clear. This was not allowed. The hazmat people, what type of business practice gives one person all the time? That's not healthy. In a business, you wouldn't do that. We don't put a public safety person, that type of thing. You just don't do that. And this, well, I just had to give them more money. My God, that's not allowed. We don't need special rules. We need to look at that, have the case, and then we don't pay that pension. And I think as a board, we are already covered by long-term rules about spiking. But it has never been allowed. And sometimes I know we've had discussions here, maybe not with this particular group, but about what can we do about it. We felt this way and it was really hard to prove. But, you know, I think the department heads laid it out. Yeah, I did it. And that's wrong. And so I just don't want us jumping. You know, we have a bad digit. Let's not cut off our hand. Because a lot of people do this on call and call back pay, and it's legit, it's straight up, It's not done to enhance their thing. It's done at the employer's request because he needs it done, and it's part of their salary. And it's just disturbing to me, and I think we're drifting towards, let's just whack it all off. And what we have here clearly is someone who is manipulating to enhance the pensions, and that has never, ever been allowed.
Yeah, I know you're going to talk about it, but let me, I talked to Dan Borenstein on Friday, and then we had a conversation as a board yesterday. I did not know what you're sharing, that we have the ability to intervene in what a pension can be. So forgetting the doctors for a minute, because I see them a little bit differently, but for the hazmat guy who did retire, I'm assuming that came before this board, and can we review that and make a different decision? I know what you're saying, that it's hard to prove, but I think it's pretty blatant that this guy got to sign up. One of the things the board said last week to staff was, you need to manage this better. Nobody gets to take all the on-call. You're absolutely right. It's a very poor business practice. And it was, I cannot see how anybody can deny that it wasn't done to enhance their pension. So do we have the ability to review that particular individual's retirement package, if you will, and make a different decision, or once the decision has been made, we can't review it? You don't have
complicated
to
question with a complicated answer. And what I suggest,
back to us.
Yeah, what I suggest is that we discuss that at a future meeting as an agenda item.
In closed session? Or?
Seem to be some background needed, first of all, in terms of what the board's role is, which certainly is to make determinations about whether pay that is paid by the employer to the employee counts in that employee's pension. That certainly is the role of this board. There are some complications with the current situation. One issue is the pending lawsuit as well, and the stay order. And so let us get back to you on this issue.
Well, because I think that's, I didn't know that, so thank you. As to this one, I'm equally upset, as is the board. I do view it a little differently. These are doctors who are working, and it was a retention issue, and I'm understanding that it will eventually be going away. Can't say a lot. But I agree with you relative to the premise. I made the comment yesterday, I'm tired of what I perceive as people seeking forgiveness as opposed to asking permission.
Let me just clarify. I want to understand exactly what specifically we're talking about here. There's one issue that you mentioned is the volunteering or getting assigned additional on-call.
It was a practice in the department to allow the person who was closest to retirement to take all of the on-call time. And it wasn't just the one employee. He was the latest in a series that were documented.
And
the department admitted that. So there's no question factually that the person closest to retirement got all of the on-call time, and by doing so took what I think was reported in the paper as a $76,000 salary.
And
his
96 and went to 125.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it was 96 to 125. I'm a little dyslexic.
No, but he got 1,200 but extra that's, hours.
So that was the practice of the employer that then finds its way here. And the question, I think, that's being asked is, do we have the right and the ability to question that final compensation, how it was derived, and so forth, in order to make a determination about what the retirement is, mm-hmm. in general, for everybody? The corollary, I think, that's being asked is, apart from that, do we have the ability to reopen or revisit the prior grant of retirement based on new facts and circumstances that we all read in the paper and got a lot of phone calls about, myself included? That's the corollary question.
And then was there mention about doctors' on-call pay that allegedly is not for on-call work?
Right. Dr. Yes. Walker admits that in order to retain doctors, and because there is a fleeing to Kaiser, that, and it's only 40 doctors, I understand, it's not all doctors, who fit a certain criteria, he offered them on-call pay that increased their salary by 7.5 hours a week, and it was, and he even admitted it, they didn't work all that on call, although he's telling us that they're staying later and they can't get compensated, so this is a way to do it. But the allegation in the paper is they were being paid for work they did not do. But they're not retiring tomorrow either. So it's still, and I'm still never clear on, I mean, it's total compensation, but when you all, staff, evaluates what the retirement pay is, it's based on like either the last year or the last 3 years, but it's in the kitty, so to speak, ahead of time.
Yes, okay, I understand. We'll work on this, on both of these.
Just as a final comment, we're doing, I think, exactly what my goal was in making a copy of the article that I hope most of you had a chance to see. We are going to at least internally respond. We can't leave, from my point of view, something like this stated in a public forum open. It starts out that there are two key phrases: raises serious questions about the payment of public funds for work not performed. The pension system for county workers has the authority to disallow retirement payments based on improperly inflated salaries. Have to respond to that in a clear way for this. I like going back and obviously going forward, and just wanted to make sure we had that on our work plan.
Do you have to do that, though? Are we redoing everything going forward?
Yes, under AB 197 and another part of AB 340, not so much PEPRA, for members, not PEPRA members, there are provisions about catching those enhancements and specific authorization for the Board of Retirement to exclude them from pension calculations. However, that is still under the stay order of the court in the AB 197 lawsuit. And so we've been ordered to continue prior practice and prior policies and not implement any of AB 197.
I didn't know that.
So the answer is we're doing nothing right now.
Yeah, why can't we do that?
My question too. And I'm sorry, Rush, you got your hand up. But when we get this list of people who are retiring, I have no I know staff has gone through, but and it could be in confidential documents. I'd like to see some numbers: what their last year of employment was, or dollars were, what their terminal pay was, because the only way I'm going to make an assumption that this gentleman that was highlighted in the hazmat article appeared on one of your board agendas just as a name. So you had no ability to analyze whether he should or shouldn't have gotten it. So I'm going to suggest that staff come up with a protocol or process that provides this board with that kind of information so that we are better informed. Who knows who's on this list, what that is, granted that, but Dan did tell me there are more coming. So this is not dead. And going forward, I think we need more information on what the retirees, and what I've always looked at is what did they retire at and what is the potential for their.
I think we get that now under the new law. I think they're required to look at that. Staff is not given to us.
But I want us to look at it before we start granting these, because that's the only way to get some control, in my opinion.
But we'd really bog down with how many people we retire per month.
Well, if you read your packet ahead of time and they all look pretty normal, that's fine. You can call somebody ahead and say, I have a question, or then we can highlight it here at the board meeting. I think it shows due diligence in that we are doing something.
Jerry?
It's probably presumptuous of me, certainly, to suggest that what the Board of Supervisors should consider, but my guess is that once this article came out, that there were a number of department heads in this county that sort of went, oops. I suspect that there are other boulders to be overturned, and would it be responsible or reasonable for the Human Resources Department of the county to consider an audit of practices that basically says, this is the kind of stuff we're looking for. Is there anything like that going on in your department? Because if there is, we need to know about it beforehand.
I've asked Mr. Twa to mention at the next department head meeting what I just said a few minutes ago about permission and forgiveness.
Yeah.
I'm not going to assume that Rusty as a department head is doing this. It may just be a few places, and that's unfortunate, but the majority of department heads are not. They don't have the ability to. I mean, you don't have on-call pay. You don't have. So
but
I don't want to paint everybody with the same brush.
No, but I'm suggesting that there may be other ways. These things become.
We're looking at. I can assure
they
you
become
we're looking
systematic, you know, and systemic is the better word for it. Over the course of years, people figure out how to do this on behalf of their employees. They do.
Justine and Deborah and then Louis.
Or themselves. Chairman, because there's a stay on the order or the AB 197, that as a board we cannot determine what goes into comp pay?
No, you can.
So
of course you can.
Going back to Richard's remark, though, again, and John's for that matter, I mean, now that the public's been aware of this, they are looking to the board, and so is Bornstein, to make a decision on whether or not we allow, such as we did a month ago or so, for somebody to inflate their final comp, get away with it. So with that said, can we go back again? I've raised the same question that's already been raised. Now, not wait till the stay is removed as a board and determine whether we made a good decision or not in allowing for the hazmat gentleman to retire. What he retired at?
That's a question that we'll look into.
Okay, good.
Yeah, but just remember, I mean, the reporter asked for the retirement calculations for all the hazardous material specialists over the last 3 years, I think it was. We sent them like 12. They all had the exact same thing. He highlighted the one with the biggest one.
Right.
Just because it made a better story. But it would mean doing more than just reviewing this one calculation.
So I think, first of all, I'm disappointed that we had to wait until the state passed a law that said we had to develop these processes to do these, to scrutinize more closely what was going into compensable earnings. But aside from that, that's hindsight. Going forward, I don't think the law says that we can't implement the program that we had already set forth. I mean, I don't think the stay from the court says we can't implement our own policies and procedures. Just because the law, AB, it's part of 197 and part of 340 said you must implement these procedures, that doesn't mean, I don't think, that we can't do this on our own. And just because there's a stay on that on AB 197 doesn't mean we can't.
The stay specifically says we can't change our compensation policy. We have to continue implementing our current compensation policy.
And that's fine.
But it
doesn't say we can't continue with the other parts of it that say we've got to establish a procedure for scrutinizing this more carefully.
Well, that's what I'm asking for. I want us to start seeing these, like you said, that's what I want to start seeing, at least in the short term, Richard, so that we can get a feel for this. Because what I'm hearing is we can determine compensation. We just have to follow normal practices. But if we see something blatant, we can question it. That's what I want.
And then I am fully in favor of looking to do whatever we can as a board to go back on these few instances that have been brought to our attention, unfortunately, by our favorite newspaper reporter. But that we do something about going back and looking at those cases and trying to recover what has happened incorrectly in the past.
Well, if we can't recover, at least change the calculation going forward.
I'm all for going back.
All right.
Well, I am too, but I think there's more.
When we get the calculations, do they break down each individual so we know each individual? So I thought they just gave blocks, okay, vacation, this. They don't break down each individual item.
We have them broken out. Now, sometimes on the final worksheet that...
From the employer breaks each individual thing down?
It's somewhere broken down, yeah. We do have that broken down.
I think maybe if they break it down more, we'll be able to identify it better.
Let's just look, because I think it will be pretty blatant if you see that somebody retired or left that with their salary at this, and this is what you all, the staff, has calculated will be their retirement. That's a red flag, and we can start looking at that. We may only be able to bite off chunks, but I agree with Rusty and Deborah. I don't hear that the stay affects our ability to still determine what retirement compensation.
As a board, we do have that responsibility, but we delegate it to our administration.
Right.
You can always call it back. Or we can set thresholds and say, okay, we want you to bring it to our attention right. So it meets this.
And I know there was like 20 people, and it may not be fun, but I think we need to start so that we can say we're looking at this, and especially going prospectively, but there where we see some blatant problems, we're going to look into those. Where nobody's saying we're changing it right away, but we need to know what our options are as a board to address some of these concerns.
We understood it. We were going back X amount of years, which was undetermined, saying, what did they make in 2012, 11, 10, whatever, and just that would send the flag. And I thought that's what we were doing.
We are doing that, yes.
And I understand why it's so complicated, why we just don't do that.
We do that.
But are they, if there's a big bump, are we doing anything as a...
No, because it's AB 197 that says, if you've determined that its compensation was, you know, you exclude compensation that the board determined, that wasn't in general prior to AB 197, which we're prohibited from implementing.
Kurt, based on that, is that hazmat thing okay?
John,
based what you're saying.
Richard and then
let us get back to you with a report on that particular pay item.
But
it's a complicated...
Whose turn is it, Brian?
Richard,
okay.
Scott, Jerry, John.
All right. You know, I want to disagree with your assumption, Deborah. I think we have always had the power to do that. I can remember when this board, the major employer, won't mention any names here, decided that senior management should get a bonus for telling us they were going to leave.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, we sat in this room, and for those who were here, I was kind of like going off on it. But we decided it would count, and then everybody got religion 2 years later, including Mr. Bornstein, who sat in the room when we had the conversation to begin with. I also remember we had some department heads. We decided that the actions that they could collect a pension and work were wrong, and we stopped it. We stopped it moving forward. We didn't go clawbacking. Okay, so we do have some type of authority, and Rusty, we have always had this authority. I agree, always. We decide what counts. And I think, I don't need to see all the data. I have faith in staff. We have to give them clear instructions, I think. But what we have to do, I think, is just remember, that is our responsibility. And these are blatant.
Well, but Richard, again, I trust staff too, but they were following what was going on and following the stay. This gentleman... I think if we had seen that, we would have had some input in that. And I don't know what it would be, but that's what Karen's going to do is come back to us. So I think it's important. I'm new. Scott's new. We're going to have a new person here that you guys don't have to look at it, but I want to look at it so I know what's going on.
And I understand. And I disagree with the assumption about what the stay means. And I'm not a lawyer, but I'm deep in to the stay issue, okay? Because, and I'm telling you, the stay is not about this.
No, it's not.
That's my opinion.
Can we get legal clarification on that about whether we can proceed with our own procedures on this board of spending, you know, the procedures you've developed already, and they're just sitting there waiting to be implemented, is my understanding, right?
Well, they're implemented in terms of catching the enhancements that's being done, but they're not being brought to the board for a determination on whether anything needs to be excluded, because the authority to exclude comes from AB 197. We've consulted with fiduciary counsel, litigation counsel on this to find out whether we can start enforcing these exclusions, and the answer was no. Now, it may require some clarification with the court about allowing a portion of AB 197 to be implemented by CICERA. I'm not sure.
Or is there another statute other than AB 197 that allows us already to...
Like fiduciary obligation.
No, there are... Karen, I was trying to flip through this and find it. We already had stuff about spiking.
We'll look
from the very get-go, there has always been rules about that.
Somebody who's got, like, I don't know, a small number added on to their terminal pay, I understand, but it's the blatancy. That's what we want to see, and I can't see that unless I see numbers.
Okay, Scott, Jerry?
Quickly, I think most of it's already been said now, but in my judgment, I don't think the AB 197 stay has frankly anything to do with this discussion. That's my opinion. I'm just telling you as a trustee that I see an issue of gaming the system or defrauding it or whatever we want to label the types and kinds of conducts that have been brought to light. That has nothing to do with preserving the status quo. For the non-lawyers amongst us, the purpose of a stay is to preserve the status quo ante. That is the situation before the new change came into effect. There's I got to believe that Judge Flynn would agree with this, and if we need to, I would have no compunction about asking Judge Flynn if he thinks his stay would prevent this board from taking actions to prevent fraud or abuse of the system, and I think we all know what the answer is. So the stay is not an obstacle, and we shouldn't think so.
Jerry?
I'm done.
Yeah, I've got a whole lot of feelings around this issue, and a lot goes along with what has already been said by this board. I've always been of the opinion that when somebody in this county retires, they've given us 30 years of their life, and they retire, that they should go out at least 80 to 100% of their salary if possible. And every financial book you read says that when you're in retirement, you need to plan for at least 70% of your salary to stay in retirement in a comfortable position. We're fortunate to have a COLA in this county that helps those people retain that. But when you look at the total picture in this county, the abuse that goes on is probably in the top 5%. The paper has focused on that top 5%. I'm glad they bring it to our attention. We need to be aware of it. I'm glad we're discussing issues about dealing with that 5% now, which we really haven't covered in depth in the past. And I think that the other 95% of the county, and I'm only saying this because we're now broadcasting, but the other 95% of our county employees don't make the money that we're talking about, that these people have been getting. And I'm glad to see that somebody, that at least this board may be tackling this issue, may be looking at it. So in respect, in my opinion, I'm glad to look at these abuses. I'm glad for the idea to see where this comes out, because that 5%, I mean, when we look at a total salary, if you say they base it on their final compensation, they should be earning, when they go out the door, $80,000 a year, and you're looking at a person that's making $120,000 a year when they're only supposed to be getting, well, that should be a red flag for us, and that should be something that says this may be a person that's found a way to abuse the system. And we have people in the system that have found ways to abuse the system in the past. Came up with our fire chiefs a while back, and now it's going on to hazmat, and now we're looking at doctors. I mean, it's there. We've got to look at it. And if we have the opinion, if we have the ability to make a choice like that, so you know where I lie. I lie, if a person can get to 100%, fine, they get 100%, but I don't see anybody being able to walk out with retirement over 100% of what they made while they were working. I just don't see it, and that's where I am as a trustee on this board. That's how, what I feel as an individual. There you go.
Any other? John?
Yes. I think what I'm going to try and put in one, not one sentence, but one thought here we really talked about. I like what Karen, Rusty, others have said about we need a way as a board to identify where we should be questioning staff when approving these, when there is a reason to. What is it we would look at? There are three components to the formula. There are years of service. There's the formula itself, so much per year of service. And finally, final average pay, the final pay for that 1 year. I think almost all of the gaming goes into the pay component. Looking at pay for the year that the benefit formula is produced against the prior 2 years, for example, against some kind of a standard. That is, if it doesn't vary by more than 3% or 5%, or pick a number, only if it is in excess of maybe a 5% increase on a compound basis over those prior 2 years. As a part of the picture we look at when we approve of the retirement benefits, appears to make good sense. There should be a small number. The issue would be to staff, tell us why this one is not a gaming situation. Give us the background in greater depth. Other than that, I think that's adequate amount of information, but it does give the board some ability to make a judgment other than just look at a single number, and as a practical matter, there's no way you can really respond to that other than say yes.
I think if there was just, if staff were to develop a chart that gave us maybe 3 to 5 different metrics on a line, the person's name, the thing we get already, but maybe a couple of metrics additional that sort of give us more comfort that, you know, whether that's a percentage of the last 3 years average, or we get the percentage of year one back, year two back, year three back. So that there were a couple of little metrics on that page that we could look at as a board. I know we've, as a board in the past, tried to stay away from micromanaging what the staff does. We put our full faith and confidence in you as staff to do the right thing. I do have one question. The person that we're talking about, the hazmat person, is that, was that a recent case?
Yep. Yeah, it was a week ago, Sunday. Okay.
And so, it was November 1st was his retirement date.
Yeah, it was.
Did you capture that in the analysis?
Well, no.
Did
because
anybody here capture it?
Okay. We started doing the analysis in 2013 when the new law
became effective. So we weren't analyzing it back then.
We observed a hazmat person who did come to the board for a little bit different reason. We saw what they were doing with on-call pay. We looked at other people in that position. I looked at all of them that retired since we started including on-call pay. And of course, I found that individual as well. What was your question?
Well, so we found this internally, and we still allowed them to retire?
Yeah. He was already retired.
Oh, so we found it after.
We found it after. We said, well, that particular provision of the law wasn't in effect until 1/1/13, so we aren't going to do anything. So we felt
at that time we didn't have the ability to do anything.
No, goes to what Richard's saying. That's why I think we need the numbers, because you would have had the ability to look at it and say, is he gaming the system?
And mine is simply about gaming the system, not that the rule changed.
Right.
That's all I'm saying, is that you could stop spiking when it was spiking.
But
always.
It could have been.
It's just hard to prove. It just is hard to prove. And we've got a smoking gun here.
Well, a great first place to start is what Jerry said. You know, when we have retirements come through where someone is 20 or 30% above their salary, that ought to be the first red flag that occurs.
Well, and I respectfully disagree. I understand, but what we're hearing in the public is, you know, I want, my metric would be 80% of salary walking out the door. Anything above 80%. I'm not saying that it's not justified if it's over that.
Just explain it.
But the public has an expectation that people do not walk out the door with 100% of their base salary. It may change. There may be reasons. I'm not getting into that. But my metric would be minimum 80. I'd even go 70, but I'll go as high as 80. That would be one of the metrics. You made $100,000, and in retirement, the day after you leave, you're getting $80,000. That's fine. But if you're getting 95, I want to know why you're getting $15,000
more. I absolutely agree with you.
You're picking on me?
I don't want 100% to be the base. I want it to be at least...
We're going
to
look at yours the hardest.
Well, my multiple.
He's got nothing.
And I'm willing for staff to come back, you know. I think we need to see in the future all of them for a while so we can see a pattern. And then we may better be able to give a metric where we want that threshold to be. But I agree with you, Jerry. I know people leave they can't afford to. But the basis and premise of a pension is it's part of your entire retirement
plan. Yeah, it's one
stool
plan. Up, it's
whatever
one leg
you save, what you get in Social Security, whatever else. It's not supposed to be what you made walking out the door. I mean, that's not what the public will support, and I'm looking at a number of other things where I need to get the public's credibility so we can continue to do the work of providing services.
So we
I think we have great direction here on the issues that the board would like us to analyze, so we'll be back.
Should we agendize this topic for another meeting?
Yes.
Yeah. This has become a very long discussion.
There's a lot of
And I'd like to add, can we also put on... Is the lawsuit, the DSA lawsuit at all, going to be on? I know the 4th is our quarterly meeting, so that's, but I'd like it at least on the 11th
The 11th is a quarterly meeting.
So yeah, it's the 4th. Okay, so can the DSA be on closed session for the quarter or for the closed session?
From my standpoint, absolutely. Right. I don't know what.
Well, that request was already made twice, and I understood with Harvey's schedule that that was the first available date relative to when the opening briefs are filed, which I believe is Friday?
Friday,
16th?
Yes.
Yeah.
Friday, yeah.
So that's the time when we can discuss when we will know what the plaintiffs have filed on the 4th, and that gives Harvey time and direction with respect to the briefing
well,
that we make in reply.
And
we're going to ask something. She's asking it to be added to the conversation, which is, are we prevented from making a change?
From my perspective as a new member, I need to better understand why we are having counsel defend something that is going to affect us either this way or that way, and I just want to have that conversation.
Yeah, well, that was, I would expect that on the 4th in closed session.
Okay.
Well, it's clear you brought up a topic that was hot to the ears.
Well, but I just don't think we're going to have metrics.
Mr. Phillips.
You know, when you look at exceptions, like I have so many years, I'm going to fall above your metric.
And that's okay, Richard. I trust you're not spiking. And that's fine, but I think it's important to show the public that we are taking this seriously.
Trust but verify.
That we are responding to it. And again, I don't think that anybody, although I read this three times, I didn't know the highlight, and that we have an ability to impact those types of retirement plans where we feel there's been blatant spiking.
We have always had the ability. It's just very hard to prove. If the employer sits there and says, no, I gave them that pay raise on merit.
I agree with you on that, but what the hazmat guy did was, should have set off red flags.
He did it with
we,
permission.
Well, it was admitted.
I understand that, but it doesn't mean that we can't have a discussion about whether he gets that.
So I just have to say that Tim just gave me some information about, I have an old schedule apparently. The 4th is not a quarterly meeting. So the 4th will be an administrative regular meeting.
Because we usually meet the 2nd and 4th.
So September 4th would be a non-investment administrative meeting. We'll have a closed session on AB 197 agendized for that meeting.
Is it possible for that meeting, if there are retirements coming forward, that we can get some information? Or you could at least prepare, staff could prepare something so we could give direction once we see it, whether it...
We'll prepare information for that meeting regarding the questions that you've posed. I don't know if there's an ability to change any processes before then. And I'm looking to Kurt because
I'm not looking to change processes. I'm just looking to say if there's people's names coming before us to grant retirement,
right.
I'd like to have more information before I vote yay or nay.
We can do that.
And if they're not time sensitive, I'd be inclined to not want to take action on any retirement until we had the answers, to be frank.
They probably are time sensitive. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Please, can we not go overboard? I mean, this problem has been going on for a long time. Why do we need to correct it by the end of next month? I mean,
I'm not saying correct it, Richard. I'm saying look at the information.
Okay, all right. But I just don't want to delay people.
No, I'd say if there isn't a time. In other words, if there's a statutory urgency, if there's a specific date and when it's a no shelf life must act, then we'll act. But if we don't have to act, I would prefer to have more information than less before we act. That's all I'm saying.
The issue would be, can we act after an employee retires to claw back or recalculate, or are they going, well, certainly they're going to allege that they relied on our calculations. Maybe we need to put some more disclaimers in our estimates on what your benefit would be, that this benefit is based on facts currently known or something. If new facts come to life, that this benefit is improper or illegal or should not have been granted at this level, it can be readjusted. I mean, something so that at least that they can't have that argument that they relied to their detriment in accepting this benefit.
Excellent point. Yes. Super.
How are you making that argument?
I'm serious. It's about spiking.
It is.
Okay, and we're all talking, you're talking in a broader scale. This is just purely about spiking.
But we can't know if they're spiking if we don't see the numbers, Richard.
And you don't know if they're spiking if you don't have a definition of spike.
Well, that's where I came with my 80% threshold.
Okay, and Bornstein's got a different one.
I don't care. I'm saying 80% here.
I understand.
That has to be it. We need to discuss that. It's just, that's my concept.
It needs to be agendized on the 4th.
Yeah.
So we'll have it on the 4th?
We can have it on the 4th.
Awesome. December 4th.
Okay. I just want to thank Terry for everything he's done.
Yes.
He's been a huge help. You've been my go-to person this last year, and I appreciate all of it.
Thanks.
And you're getting out before we do reports.
he's going to come up.
Yeah, make sure we that disclaimer is in.
I have a meeting after this meeting, so it'll be all ready.
Well, then you already have a good sense of where the board's going before you have your meeting.
That's how you didn't know.
Okay.
All right. Again, thank you, Terry, for your service.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Hope to see your face around.
When we do next time, he will have that retirement.
That glow. Mm-hmm.
That's what I call it.
Over 80%.
That glow.
Just a little bit of angst.
I'm wondering, are you guys going to look at my... Well, let's not grant it yet. And I know how long it takes.
It's not a hurry. He's been working.
Yeah. And let's be honest. There are certain professions where there is legitimate overtime, and it's going to go above what Mike...
Overtime doesn't count. No overtime.
No overtime. Well, whatever. There are certain professions that have legitimate additions to terminal.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. Any other trustee comments? Thank you very much, everybody.
All right.
Good job. Eat cake.
Congratulations.
That's right. We have a good piece of cake here.